Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. I'm looking at my phone. I get a text from Mark Cabali. It just says, F off.
What happened?
I don't know.
What'd you do?
I have no clue.
Just now he texted you?
Just this second. I'll be following up.
Did mention him earlier a little bit.
I don't think I said anything bad about him.
Mm-mm.
I think we talked about how he said good and bad things about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ultimately gets aggregated that he was only saying bad things about Justin Fields. I know he was mad about that, but that's not what we did to Mark. I'll pry. I'll figure it out. But right now, the Buccos, winners of 2 out of 3, a half game back in the NL wildcard race. Mitch Keller pitched a gem and Brian Reynolds clutch and continued his hitting streak. Neil Walker joins us to discuss on the Fan Hotline. Brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. First of all, Neil, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Well, we were great. Now I'm all worried about my friendship with Mark Cabali, but we'll just have to put a pin in that for the moment. All right, Neil, now you were at the ballpark, as I understand it, yesterday as a fan. So you got see up close and personal, in the elements, in the heat, just how well Mitch Keller pitched. So here's the question, because we talked about this a lot earlier. If the Pirates were in a playoff series, who's getting the ball for you game one?
Well, I think given track record and what we actually really know, it'd probably be safe to say Paul Skeens, but at the same time, there will come a time where Paul, where the league adjusts to Paul to a certain degree. Most likely will not be a gigantic punchback, but I just feel like as it sits here today, you have a very good idea what you're going to get from Mitch Keller as far as if he potentially gets in trouble, if he is good like he was yesterday. I mean, that was a 2-hour and 8-minute game. There was nobody happier than I was because I went down with six 8 to 10-year-old girls, tennis girls that of my daughter, and I'm sweating out every crevice ever created. And on top of that, I didn't have power for 48 straight hours in Northern Allegheny County. So there was no, it was not like, I wish I was home on my couch watching the game, because I didn't even get to watch the first two games of the series. So I'm mad as can be anyway. And then you turn around, you get to the game, you turn around, and all of a sudden it's 2 hours in the game, and then here comes David Bednar to shut it down. So yesterday was about as happy as I could be as a fan. I wasn't working. I was watching the game, even though it was hot. I knew that there was no better place to be, and you got Mitch Keller on the mound just sitting guys down left and right. It was quite a day. But to straight up answer your question, as it sits here right now, I'd want Mitch Keller throwing game one in a 3-game series.
Neil, is it safe to say that as we stand right now and, as we sit here right now, that Mitch Keller and Paul Skeens should be all-stars?
Yeah, I would say that's probably very much a good statement. I mean, I think that Colin Holderman may have, at least from a pitch, what he's actually accomplished. I mean, if you dig through his numbers, and obviously it's a different situation from a voting standpoint, but if you dig through his numbers, he's been, he gave up a 2-run home run his third pitch of a season in Philadelphia, and has basically given up like 1 or 2 runs ever since. And one of those runs was lost in the lights by G1 Bay in Toronto. So, but yes, I think it would be fair to say that. It is hard conversation because, in most instances, everybody wants to see the best players at the All-Star game. But there's also instances where, guys come out of the blue. For instance, the shortstop in Colorado, he probably deserves to be potentially the all-star, the starter at shortstop at the all-star game. But the way the voting process works, you're most likely going to get Philadelphia or LA Dodgers, regardless of who's at shortstop for them. They're probably going to get voted in based on just the fan base size alone. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle the Skeens situation, because I think everybody wants and feels like he is one of the best pitchers in the league already, and he should be on the All-Star game. But there's also scenarios where, you know, sometimes you need to reward guys that have had an incredible first half of the season. Whether that's fair or not, that's, you know, sometimes it happens in both directions.
Neil Walker joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Brian Reynolds quickly playing his way into All-Star consideration. Fifth in NL outfielders in RBI, third in NL outfielders in homers, fifth in NL outfielders in batting average, fifth in OPS, seventh in on-base percentage, fourth in slugging percentage. Neil, why does this guy turn into Superman come June? Is there any explanation for something like this?
You know, we've seen Kutch do this a handful of times, like, you know, back in 11, 12, 13, 14. I mean, he was a notorious slow starter. Other guys I played with, Adam LaRoche was a notorious slow starter. And then it's almost like, and obviously Kutch is from Florida, but we would always joke, like, you know, it took him a while for their blood to thaw out or whatever, coming from Florida. But yeah, it's wild. If you dig through Brian Reynolds' numbers, especially in June, I mean, I think he's, since 2019, as of a couple weeks ago, he was the seventh best. He had like the seventh best WAR and seventh best average and everything. And he's just continuing to do that. There will be some bad news on this is hot take item stuff right here. There will be some bad news on the hitting streak for Brian Reynolds, though, because it sounds like he may have potentially got a hit taken away from him last week. And that will most likely end his hitting streak.
What?
Wait, which hit? Wait,
do you remember the play?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly the one. Which one it was? I think they said it was this past Saturday, which would have been in Colorado. But I can't. You know what it was? It was a ball he hit the left field, and the left fielder thought he was closer to the wall than he was, and kind of gator armed the ball, and it kicked off his glove. But he wasn't necessarily right up against the wall, and that was the only hit he had in that game. So it sounds like his hitting streak will have ended at, you know, whatever that was, four games ago or, yeah.
What?
That's crazy.
That pisses me off. Like, Joe DiMaggio, how many games of his streak? I'll have to look this up. Did Joe DiMaggio only have one hit? We weren't replaying the games back then. Like, come on.
That's ridiculous.
That really annoys me.
I agree. And there's a system set up in baseball through an app, actually, that the players get, where if you feel in both directions, if you feel like you should have had a hit on a ball, maybe a guy misplayed and they gave him an error and the game ended and it was still an error, or vice versa, you can send it into the league and explain exactly when it was, what happened, why you deserve to get a change. But in most instances, they don't get changed. So there's a good chance somebody – the pitcher that evening that faced Brian probably sent it in and said, "I think this was an error," and they most likely reviewed it. And
oh, what a nerd! If you care about your ERA, don't play in Colorado.
Man, I wonder how that affects gambling, though. Low key. But
wow,
think about
what if you had Brian Reynolds to get anytime get a hit or something?
Right, like two base.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's really interesting. Yeah,
Neil. Say Ke'Bryan Hayes gets on a hot streak here and he is a part of this process and everything stays the same. Would you be comfortable of saying that this team is right where they need to be and they don't need to add a bat by the trade deadline? Or would you say that they still would need to add a bat even though Ke'Bryan Hayes has found some momentum and is hot right now?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing about Ke'Bryan Hayes is that he makes a lot of contact. If you're asking him to kind of hit in that 2, 3, 4, 5 spot in the order, just based on his slugging numbers, it's probably not going to match up with what you really want to see in that section of the lineup. We've seen him lead off recently, especially against some lefties. We've seen him at times in that sixth spot in the lineup, and we've just been waiting to potentially see him kind of get back to that slugging form that we saw at the end of last year, where he was, you know, pulling some balls and pulling some balls in the air. But he makes hard contact. I mean, I know that's, you know, people don't really want to hear that in today's day and age. Like, you hit the ball hard, but it's on the ground and it's on a line more so than in the air. And we kind of saw that with Rowdy Tellez when he was really going back. He was, you know, putting balls in play, and some were hit hard, but they were basically hit right into the shift or right into, you know, into the ground. So I just think that there's, you know, with the resurgence of Rowdy and Key Bryant kind of not necessarily slugging like we hoped he was slugging, and Jack Sawinski struggling, I just still feel like there should be a bat added in some form or fashion, because I personally think if you're able to find a corner bat, corner slash DH type bat that you can sit in that 3-4-5 hole, which is easier said than done, to be honest. That just takes the pressure off of everybody else. It takes pressure off of O'Neill. It takes pressure off of Brian Reynolds feeling like he has to slug at least when he gets on base more than just getting single after single and so on and so forth. So, but yes, to answer your question directly, Doran, I think that if you see Rowdy Tellez has kind of evened out a little bit as far as his production. Jack has not just yet, and you know I think we all can agree that Ke'Bryan Hayes, there's more in there. We've seen it. And if you can get one of those two guys on a roll, or at least to solidify what he is, I think that's going to be gigantic for this offense moving forward, because there's just so many teams right smack around that 500, and it's going to take a lot to separate yourself from the pack, because there's just only a few teams that are really, really have really good records, and there's only a few teams that have really bad records. So with the extra wild card system put in place, you're going to see more and more teams trying to go after very similar type of guys as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Neil, I'm a little bit surprised that when your power was out for 48 hours that you didn't just go and buy a new house, to be honest.
Well, I had a portable generator that was connected into the freezer, which was nice. And we do have a generator that is connected to, you know, the AC and the fridge, but that didn't work for 24 hours as well. So you go figure. When you need something, it doesn't work. But we got it eventually. Somebody came out and got it kicked on for us. So
happy to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
You guys have a good week. All right.
You too. What a guy.
All right.
Neil Walker. Let's buy another house.
Yeah. Must be nice.
He's got 500K just sitting around. I'll buy another house.
Yeah, it must be nice.
That'd be cheap for him.
Very cheap.
How about Brian Reynolds getting his hit streak taken away?
Yeah, that's wild.
I have not seen that reported anywhere. So Neil kind of breaking the news here.
Yeah, I trust him.
Oh, God, does that really tick me off. Like, you have an official score for a reason. You make the call in the ballpark. When the game is, you can change it during the game, fine. You want to think about it, you want to talk about it, fine. But a week plus later, when a guy's got 18-game hitting streak, that's ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that was four games. So he still have like a 12-game hitting streak or something like that.
What did he say? It hit the wall? Or
that outfielder gator-armed it? Like, I don't remember the play. If you remember the play, because there are people out there that will, text it to us at 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Or you can tweet it at us. I know there's a guy who loves our show that won Pirates tickets through us, Skeen Stash or something. He's always cutting up videos. He might have it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tweet it to us, because maybe it should have been an error. I don't know, but that really irritates me. @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. There was a lot to react to from Neil, and we will do that coming up next. Looking at that play in question that Neil Walker told us about, of Brian Reynolds having a double change to an error that we initially thought wound up ending his hitting streak. Well, it turns out that Brian Reynolds actually did get a hit in the ninth inning of that game. And so his hitting streak remains intact with, it's a 17-game hitting streak now. I think it's 18-game hitting streak now. I'm looking at an older tweet. But his average drops from 274 to 271. Neil did just text me and say it's Bush League that they would go back and change something
right,
like that.
Right.
Now, I will also say, we just watched the play here. That probably should be an error. I mean, the wall's coming. The outfielder's getting close to the wall.
It hits his glove.
Nolan Jones, yeah, and it hits his glove. Rule of thumb generally. I don't know that that's like a super routine play, but a play that most above average left fielders are going to make. I have no problem if at the time they'd have called that a double, or excuse me, an error, but that they ruled it a double, and now they go back in time a handful of days to change it. That kind of thing just irks me. You either make the call, make the decision as the official scorer in-game and change it then in-game, or it's over forever.
I mean, with the gambling, though. Because there's a lot of people who have like the total bases, like two total bases or three total bases or four total bases. Like, if somebody got a paid out, like, how do you...
Oh.
Like, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that bet on that game and bet Brian Reynolds. Who wouldn't bet Brian Reynolds individual props right now with him being so hot?
Yeah, and let's say it's, you know, Brian Reynolds over under a hit and a half.
Yeah.
So in that instance, you're going to be ticked off if your bet hit, and now you got a retroactive, like, do you even pay your money back now weeks later? I don't think so.
I think the gambling outlets just have to eat it.
Yeah, I think you've got to eat it. But at the time, if you had the under, if for whatever reason you would bet such an under, I would have been ticked because at the time, they got it wrong.
Now, do they get the money? Or no, like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
If you had the over.
Of like 2.5. Because he actually had a hit, right? Was it a single?
Yeah.
So it was a single. So say you had over 2.5.
Total bases?
Wait, hold on. I'm all messed up.
I think we're who's on firsting this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're thinking total bases, then I don't want to do it. My brain hurts. But
you're thinking total bases. Mm-hmm. You had two total bases.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have hit because it had been three total bases. Now it goes back to one. So now.
Good point. How's the payout work?
Right.
I think when it's all paid out at the end of the ball game, I think it should be final.
Done.
It should be, from a gambling perspective, it should be final. And heck, from an official scoring standpoint, I think it should be final. Like, you can't go back and change it. I know TJ Watt and the Steelers, when he missed out on the single season sack record, they appealed the decision to where the Ravens quarterback, you know, fell on the football.
Right.
And they said it wasn't a sack. And the Steelers argued retroactively that it should have been
right.
A sack. Man, I even have a hard time with that one. Because I thought live, give him the damn sack. But going back in time and then giving him the single season sack record after the fact, I don't know, it loses a ton of juice there to me. And I just think when the ball game is over, football or baseball, be done with it.
Yeah.
Because you do, I had not even thought about the gambling side of things. But.
No, there's a lot of people that actually won in this sense. So it actually was in favor of the gambler instead of the
everybody won.
Yeah.
Everybody would have wound up winning, probably.
Yeah. If you had the total bases over one, you would win because now you're not going to just, you can't give that money back. You probably withdrew it or whatever, but, and then now it goes back to one.
How strange.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird. All right, let's talk about real baseball because my brain hurts. We did the quarterback salary cap thing. Now we're doing this thing. We're doing way too much math on today's show. So who starts game one of a playoff series? If the playoffs start a week from now, so Mitch Keller's fresh, who do you start game one of a playoff series? 412-928-9370. Doran had an interesting take on this. I'm going with Neil Walker. I'm going with Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller, since Paul Skenes has been called up, has a lower ERA than Paul Skenes. He's gone at least 5 innings in 46 straight ball games. Mitch Keller is an ace right now. He's pitching like an ace. He's going to go deep into ball games. He's one of the 10 best pitchers in the sport in terms of total innings. He was up there in that category last year. He's starting the first playoff game for me, Doran, because he's going to give you a good chance to win, and you might be able to rest your bullpen. Neil Walker said yes, the grizzled vet, Mitch Keller. Paul Skenes seems to be the obvious other choice, but you went with a third option.
Well, I would go with Jared Jones, and I would be like, you have one game, and we need to steal a game. So say that you steal that game, and then you have Keller, and then Skenes after that. You're feeling really good. And say you lose that game. You still have Keller and Skenes after that to kind of get back on the horse and maybe go up 2-1. If you split it, with one of the other guys, it's like, okay, like you're
kind
of 50-50.
You're going to have to go to Jones in a winner-take-all game.
Right. I'd rather have him go steal a game, and I think he is built for that. I think he's built for maybe one game, give it your all. You get into his head, he gets all jacked up, and he's just so into it that he just goes out there and throws heat. We need one out of you, Jared. One. Go get this first one for us. And then after that, you're feeling like, okay, now we're cooking.
If it's a wild card series and it's three games.
That's a little different.
That is different to me. I am going to go with Mitch Keller and I'm going Paul Skeens. If it's a seven-game series, I do not dislike your idea at all. Because Jared Jones, he's on a downturn right now. I expect he's going to bounce back. He's a young pitcher and he's not Superman like Paul Skeens. Like, if Paul Skeens goes the rest of the year and doesn't struggle all that much, honestly, I'm not going to be all that surprised. He's got six pitches. They're all devastating. He might be the curious case of the league doesn't punch back on you. But Jared Jones is like a lot of other young pitchers. The league is punching back. I expect because of his stuff, because of his demeanor, because of how hard he works, he's going to go back on the up and up. I don't mind starting Jared Jones in game one of a seven-game series. Mm-hmm. Because if you do win that ballgame, now all of a sudden, if you're whatever the other team is, I don't care who it is. Okay, now you're down 0-1, and you got to face Keller. You got to face Skeens. The only thing is, I want to have the opportunity to throw Keller and Skeens twice, if possible. Now, with off days, that could be possible. That's the only thing where I might disagree with you on Jared Jones. But here's what makes this awesome to me. We get to have the discussion.
Right. We're talking about it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
When you've got Jeff Passan from ESPN and Buster Olney and Brett Boone, who we had on yesterday, a National Baseball Insider, all say that if you get the Pirates in a playoff series, like, they're going to be dangerous. Like, we can actually talk about, oh, they got three guys who could start a game one. Whereas it was Edinson Volquez before, and God bless him, but come on.
Right.
The Twitter poll results, 70% of people say that they'd have Paul Skeens start game one of a playoff series. 30% saying Mitch Keller. You took me by surprise by mentioning Jared Jones, so my apologies to you. I didn't put him in the Twitter poll. But what do you think? Who's the Pirates' ace right now? 412-928-9370. And is Mitch Keller deserving of an all-star appearance? We'll talk about that when we come back. We want to hear from you. All right. Sometimes something comes up that you got to talk about instead of the previously scheduled topic, and something just came up that I would like to discuss. But we'll do a little bit of both. We had the discussion. Who should start game one of a playoff series for the Pirates? Mitch Keller, Paul Skeens, Jared Jones. Now, part of that would obviously have to do with what do the Pirates need to do the final week of the season if they were going to get in, right? Like, if Mitch Keller's got to go the final game to get in, he's not going to be available for game one or whatever, right? We've seen that happen before. We saw it. With the Pirates in 13, 14, and 15, they had to make a decision. That's why Edinson Volquez got the ball in one of the wild card games. Right, Callis?
Yeah, 2014, Gerrit Cole had to pitch that last week because they were going for the division, and they didn't get it. So
I couldn't remember what the year was, but you're right. Yeah, 2014, and so Edinson Volquez has to start the wild card game.
And he gave up a grand slam to Brandon Crawford and Mike Harper.
Yes, we all know what happened there, and that really sucked, and we knew because they had Madison Bumgarner that was going to be that. So that can happen, right? But in this hypothetical, who do you start? We don't need to, I guess, replay that conversation or keep having it. That we are having the discussion, though, and that those around Major League Baseball are acknowledging the viability of said conversations, like Neil Walker saying he would go with Mitch Keller when I think conventional wisdom might say Skeens, it just tells you they really can pitch, man. Like, this isn't, we are almost halfway through this season. We're approaching that. This isn't some flash in the pan thing.
Mm-hmm.
This rotation is really, really good. This back end of the bullpen, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm planting my flag in now that it's back. Like, Chapman's been much better lately. Colin Holderman's been great wire to wire since he came back from his injury early in the season. And then Bednar's been flawless since really the first couple of weeks of the season. You need Key Brian Hayes to come around, and then if everyone else is acknowledging it, you need to add bats.
No doubt.
If this team can score runs, like, people think, oh, well, they're a couple of games under 500. It's not a really good baseball team. I think they are this close to exploding. John Wehner agrees. You score more runs, you go on these winning streaks. You might, sadly, though, need a winning streak to force the general manager's hand. What we are asking for is find a way to score more runs in the now, because one of these teams in the wild card race is going to get hot. One of these teams is going to take off. Why not the Pittsburgh Pirates? If Key could just turn it around a little bit and you get one more bat in there with the way that McCutcheon's hitting the ball, the way that Brian Reynolds is hitting the ball, the way that O'Neill Cruz has been hitting the ball since May 1st, with the way that Rowdy Tellez has come on, get me Key. Give me the toe tap, whatever it is. Start hitting the ball and then get me a hitter.
Do you think we can slogan that? And I like that Brett Boone said that the other day. Why not the Pirates?
Why not the Pirates? I mean,
hang that on banners on the rotunda. Why not the Pirates?
I like that. Because you look at the standings, and I'm sure in all these different towns, they're having similar yet a little bit different conversations. And here's what I mean by that. So the Reds are a game and a half back. They're probably thinking, why not the Reds? They're flawed, but they're right there. The Mets, the Giants, the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Cardinals, and the Nationals are all within 1.5 games back of the second wild card spot. All those teams probably are thinking, all those fan bases, I should say, are probably thinking, oh, we're going to augment our roster. We're going to add to our team. We're probably the only town where they're going, oh, are the Pirates going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Because, yeah, the question is, why not the Pirates? Because all those teams in different ways stink in different ways. Like, St. Louis can't hit. And they're hurt, they can't hit. The Mets, they went through a long stretch. They couldn't field a damn baseball. The Giants, Snell, who had been underperforming, they pay him a lot of money. The Cubs are not living up to expectation. All these teams are flawed. So take advantage of now. Because they're going to keep pitching. They lost a game the other day where they score one run. How many times has that happened this year? Where if you reverse some of those results, you're in a playoff spot right now and probably in the driver's seat. Anyhow, can we address the other thing?
Yep.
What happened here? You say you invented the Wildcat in 2004.
Yes, the Wildcat offense. I didn't invent it. I was the offensive coordinator at West Allegheny, Mark Davis. RIP to Mark Davis, who I just love very much. But he invented the Wildcat. It was called DQ Wildcat. And it was probably the third or fourth game of the season in 2004. And it was just me at quarterback, and I would just run the ball. And that week after the first time we did it, we had a lot of success with it. Houston Nutt came in, who was the coach at Arkansas, to recruit me, and he watched my film.
Oh, man.
And then Houston Nutt obviously went back to Arkansas and came back the next year while I was committed to Pitt my senior year, and that's all we ran. Like, we were Wildcat, Wildcat, Wildcat all the time my senior year. He came in to still recruit me again, and then if you look at the film, that's whenever Darren McFadden and I think Felix Jones and all those guys,
yes,
and Peyton Hillis, they started running the Wild Hog, and then it became the Wildcat for all teams to run. We were the first to ever run Wildcat. Now, I know that teams have done that before, but the actual putting a running back at quarterback and running basically your whole entire offense throughout a whole game, we started that at West Allegheny.
And then, so you've got you guys doing it, and Ben Tenuta, who is now full-time here, and he's a great kid. He doesn't believe it. Cale Berger doesn't believe it. Cale doesn't believe anything. They're young. They don't understand. I believe it because I don't know why the hell you'd lie about it.
No.
Like, why would you lie about something such as this? So in 07, you're right, McFadden and Felix Jones, and I forgot Peyton Hillis was a part of all that stuff. And then I think it was a year later in Miami, it was Ronnie Brown.
Yes.
It was Cadillac Williams.
Yes.
And they did it to beat the New England Patriots.
Uh-huh.
Why would you lie about that?
Nope, 100%.
Did you throw off it at all?
I threw probably like 5 passes that season.
You can throw it very, very far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I threw 5 passes. But yeah, we started it. And there'll be a lot of people out there that believe it and know that that's a fact. And there'll be people that don't believe it. But Ben Tenuta still doesn't believe it. So I had to talk some sense into the young man.
Doran lied to me once about dressing up as a giraffe, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was for comedy purposes. This is...
There's evidence for this. Like, you could just go look it up. Not that there's like a, you know, on Wikipedia it says that I started the Wildcat, but you could go look at some of my high school films and see that 2004 I was running the Wildcat before anybody else was. So, there's that.
I think Pop Warner might have done it.
At Pitt? You know Pop Warner went to Pitt, right?
I do know that.
Yeah, of course.
Him and Jonas Salk. A lot of good people went to Pitt.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was wearing her Pitt t-shirt to her softball practice the other day, and the young coach, who's just probably a volunteer, probably 15, 16 years old, he asked her, hey, do you like Pitt? And she looked at me.
Like, it was like, for approval?
Yeah. How do I answer this question in front of my papa? Daddy, do I like Pitt? I just shook my head, yes. You can say whatever you want.
There you go.
And she said, yes, I like Pitt.
You like Pitt.
I do not, but I respect all of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Social media's biggest loser coming up next, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. It's time for social media's biggest loser, one of my all-time favorites because he's really good at radio, but he also does stuff like this. Chris Mad Dog Russo trying to say chutzpah.
Anything you want about the NFL, he knew for 2 days. They had everything set up to go pull the carpet out from under the NFL and all the folks who went down to Atlanta. And even Hugh Jackson, who didn't go to the workout. It is incredible. It's the chutzpah to do that and the disgrace to do that to people is you can't even support it. I mean, would you ever do that to somebody? The chutzpah to do that. The chutzpah to do that.
50-minute mark of the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. There's a long thread of the mistakes that that guy has made.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the problem. Get to the chopper. That was awful. Yeah. Up next, Bengren. Up next, Bengals regression may be on the horizon. Man. All-timer.
All-timer.
That was awful. Yeah. Up next, Bengren. And then my all-time personal favorite. That so is
that's,
cool.
That's the cool thing that I took.
Congratulations to you and Sydney.
Yes.
And everybody who's on the list. By the way, I'm 33. Why am I not on the list?
I think this is for black people.
So we can make fun of Chris Mad Dog Russo, but I gotta... I can't throw stones, glass houses, that whole thing.
Have you seen the Hot Tua chick?
What's that?
Man, wait till you see this. I'm going to have to send it to you.
The Hot?
Hawk Tua.
Oh. I thought it was like a hot chick that looked like Tua Tagovailoa.
No.
What's Hawk Tua?
What did you say?
What is it?
Hawk Tua.
Hawk Tua.
Yeah. You didn't see this?
I have no idea what it is.
All right, I'll send it to you. Yeah, you can't play it.
Am I going to get in trouble?
You can't play it, but whenever we get off, you're going to gonna have to check this out. I think this is for black people.
Tomorrow, no pirate game to react to. We're gonna have a blast on tomorrow's show. And Doran, I just texted this man during the break. I hope this works out. Trying to get AJ Burnett on the program tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he might be able to talk about Skeens and Keller and the whole Bucko dynamic here.
Love it.
So maybe that, maybe not. We'll see. Coming up next, Starkey was bragging about shooting his all-time low at Hickory Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks right in, doesn't know if we're on air or not, just shoves a scorecard right in your face. And then 3 minutes later, came in all frantic. He can't find his scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a rare form Starkey today. Zeiss will be with him as well. That's going to do it for us. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, a high of 92.